Praise the Lord. Good evening. God's helping. God's here. My wife opened up to the verse of the day last week, and I began to read it, and I got so stirred up about it. I'm thankful. Walked into the office tonight. Pastor Nikki was kind of stirred up about the same verses. And we were having a tremendous time, and I just go to share a few minutes here, and as God would lead and help us to truly get a greater appreciation of this risen love of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Master, who is alive and well, interceding on our behalf. Take your Bibles and open up if you want to follow along. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, but it's Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, 2, and 3. Praise the Lord. In the King James, it reads a little different. But in the English Standard Version, it says, long ago, and many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. The writer is writing to the Hebrew people. The Hebrew people had a tremendous heritage. God had ordained and worked through them. And the writer begins by saying, long ago, kind of sounds like the start of a movie, long, long ago, and galaxies past or something like that.
Far, far away.
Yes. Something happened. And a whole religious system was set up based on that. A system that contained a lot of rules, a lot of need for obedience and sacrifice. And these people were looking back, and it seems to me they were holding on to it. And we wonder, well, is this relevant to us? That was one of the first questions you and I asked, wasn't it? Is this relevant to us? And that was a question that struck me, because I want to get to the but in verse 2. That's where I really want to go. But we got to set the context here. Do we not find ourselves, like the Hebrews, wrapped up in our own little way we think things should be? Our own little qualifications of what right living is. Religiosity, we might call it. Well, Grandma prayed for me. You know, I'm glad I had a grandma that prayed for me. And we take pride in that. We take pride in what we think God has given us a long time ago. How many times did Jesus have to deal with this? And the Hebrew people said to him, the Pharisees and the scribes, the leaders, the ones who were in charge of administrating this system that God had ordained. It was the best system in the world. None of us Gentiles even got close to it. We had our systems too. We wanted to sacrifice. We had gods and systems. But Jesus had to hear him say, we have Moses and the law. We're the sons of Abraham. Our denomination's been around for a long time. God's worked. Or even in our own selves, we look back 20 years ago. But, isn't this a great one? In these last days, but. In these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. I was trying to get a handle on Hebrews, and Pastor Nicky's been in it a lot. He stirred up about it. Two of the Bibles I opened up, two of the commentaries, one of them was a King James Version, one was a Revised Standard Version or the Living Bible, and it said, all of Hebrews talks about a better way. And I was thinking, that's kind of a gross understatement, isn't it? It is the way. Better doesn't even begin to describe the superiority that's found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Jesus is the divine revelation of all the law, all the prophets, all the sacrifices. He's all of it. Not only is He better, He is it. We got to get a hold of Jesus. But in these days, this day, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He has appointed and spoken to us by His Son. The writer to the Hebrews is saying, you think angels are great? Spends a whole chapter or two, Pastor Nicky, you may have studied this, on the angels. But Jesus is the bright morning star. He was before and rules over. He spends how many chapters on Melchizedek? They don't know where he came from. They don't know where he went. But Jesus is greater than that. The whole book of Hebrews spends how many chapters? I don't know, on the sacrificial system, the priesthood. How beautiful it was, how needed it was. We're guilty. We don't have a prayer before God. We've fallen so far short. But Jesus, in the last days, in these days, we have a hope. He's the fulfillment. He's the culmination of all the law, of all the sacrifices, of anything any angels have ever spoken. He fulfills the sacrificial system, we say, but He is the sacrifice. He is the high priest. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. He's our priest forever. He is the priest king. He's superior in all. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He's the Prince of Peace. Isn't this the time of the year that we talk about glory to God in the highest, peace on earth? Only He can bring it. We've all fallen short of any peace with anybody, even ourselves. And yet Jesus is here to be our priest, our rock, our healer, and our friend, the lover of our souls that we sang about earlier today. Hebrews talks about, not only does it talk about Jesus being superior, being everything, the fulfillment of all, and the culmination of the sacrificial system and the law and everything. And we better get a hold of this. In these last days, this one who was created is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, God's nature. He upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high. That's the first three verses of Hebrews. And I couldn't hardly get into it, but it's so great. It's so beautiful. God's been helping you, Pastor Nicky, to get into it. And I was going, wow. He's everything. And you know, Pastor Schultz, he talked about sitting in church for 7+ hours. For 2 days. It was worth every minute of it. It's worth every minute of it to be with Jesus. To be in God's perfect will. Seth told me, he says, I didn't even think we were there. Hardly an hour or two, did we? Didn't seem like it, did it? The world thinks we're crazy. Yet the world can set 4 hours in a football stadium in the freezing cold. In these last days, it's all about Jesus. And I sincerely believe that we need a new urgency, a new intensity, a new determination, a new deliberateness in our walk with God. Because it's all about Him. He's going to reign. He's going to judge. He's going to bring revival. And I believe we've got to have what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. We've got to say there's a radiance. There's a beauty to this one who has purified us and saved us and keeps us. And the Hebrew writer goes on to say, the sacrificial system couldn't measure up, even though it was the best ever on earth, and it was the foreshadowing, and it was God ordained. He says, in fact, there were hundreds of men and women who by faith didn't know Jesus, didn't even know the law. Many of them didn't even have their sacrifices. And yet they were able to see something. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice. Pastor Nicky and I were sharing, and it'll be in Hebrews, what excuse do we have after all this? By faith, Abraham obeyed and went out to receive an inheritance. And you know the list. The list is long and it's beautiful and it goes on. These were intense people. These were people who saw something and were deliberate about it. You don't get up from the center of civilization in the world, you're the Chaldeans, where life is beautiful and the job opportunities abound. You don't get up and say, I'm going to throw all my idols out and I'm going to start heading west to a place called Canaan. Unless you are seeing something that a lot of people didn't see. And you know what they were seeing? For he was looking forward. He and they, in this whole chapter, was looking forward to a city that has a builder whose foundations, with foundations, and whose designer and builder is God. That's what he was looking for. Something with foundations. Something that would last. Something that had meaning. And what else does it say here they were looking for? But as it was, in Hebrews 11, 16, they desired a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. The writer of Hebrews is saying, there were some people that were looking for this Jesus. They didn't know quite what they were looking for, but they knew it had foundations. They knew it was a rock. They knew it was eternal. They knew it was big time. And by faith, Moses refused to be like the Egyptians, but identified himself with the Hebrews. And by faith, the list goes on. Gideon and Barak and Samson and David, Samuel, and all the prophets were looking for a city whose builder and designer and maker is God. And God sent us in these last days. These last days, He sent us Jesus. And in Jesus, in His Holy Spirit, and in His Word, we have no excuse. Revelation 21, starting in verse 2, it says, and John says, I saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. In Jesus. He will dwell with them, and He will be their people, and God Himself will be with them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Did Marilyn sing about that? Neither shall there be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. The Alpha and the Omega, the Lamb who's worthy. In these days, Jesus is a jealous God. We don't need Jesus and church. We don't need Jesus and sports. We don't need Jesus and the rest of the week. And I've lived like that. You come to church, you put on Jesus, you show up the office, and you don't have very good thoughts about your employer. That's not Jesus. You come to church and put on Jesus, and go home and want your way with your spouse. That's not Jesus. We need Jesus. We need an urgency, an intensity, that's all. Michael Douglas preached, some of you heard him preach, and he used a worldly term, but I like it. It's kind of funny, but he says, you know, they play this game called poker. There comes a moment in your poker game when you say, I'm all in. It's all or nothing. I want to be all in for Jesus. I'm not holding any more stakes. Is that what they call them, stakes? Chips. I'm not holding any more chips back. I want to be 100% all in for Jesus. Now, this Hebrews thing is much bigger, and it's so much more beautiful. But when He said, in these last days, we have everything we need. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word. We have the incarnate God, the living exact image, the radiance of the Eternal One, who is good and perfect and beautiful and everything that we need, and yet we hide from that great light. I want to run to the light. I want to run to Jesus. And I want to be with people and around people that are so on fire for Jesus. I want to be with people that they just don't... Yeah, they might talk about some other things. Is it necessity? But what they want to talk about is Jesus. My wife was setting up her Christmas cards. She found a little Christmas card from someone who lived like that, who's in heaven right now. Many of you know her. Her name was Joy Donnelly. She passed away in 2015. But she sent out this little Christmas card in 2011, 4 years before she passed away. And she says, just a simple little thing. I hope this note finds you all trusting, in capital letters, the one who's worthy of our trust. Capital letters, the one who will never leave us or forsake us. She was one of the most joyful, thankful persons I've ever met. Always positive, loved the church, worked with children, faithful to her husband, who retired after serving 20 plus years in the Air Force as a chaplain, went on to pastor a church, still pastoring that same church in the Fort Lauderdale area. And she was the pastor's wife. If you ever met her, you think you met Jesus. She was so sweet. She says, in reviewing the Christmas story, I've meditated weeks on Zacharias and Elizabeth and John. The richness of God's Word never ceases to amaze me and thrill me. And here's a few exciting points that I've gleaned that she wanted to pass on to everyone, not knowing that in 4 more years she wouldn't be able to tell us about her Jesus, because all she's doing now is rejoicing about her Jesus. God may seem slow in showing up and speaking, but He always has a plan, and He intends to fill it. Keep faithful to your assignment at hand, doing all you know to do with what you have. Bullet number 3. God's hearing the prayers of His people, every one of them, and He will answer. Number 4. Don't allow fear to take hold of you. Get out of it so you can hear and pay attention to what God's saying. Oh, here's the one that my wife really liked. You should like. Don't count God out at any age. Your greatest kingdom assignment could come near the end of your earthly life. With the help of the Lord, keep a teachable spirit, a bendable will, a willing to follow heart. Capital letters, always. And capital letters, her last one was, really believe and review often, for nothing is impossible with God. And that was just from a lady that we all loved and respected that went to be with Jesus a couple years ago. And I want to be like that. I want to be in that number. In these last days, let's step it up. Let's get on fire for Jesus. And that's just the beginning. 2 verses of Hebrews. It gets bigger. Pastor Nikki.